Welcome back to the Funk House. Week 11, another step closer to the end of the fantasy regular season. So, as always, got a great show lined up. Got my boy Double Jerry and KJ. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing good. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there. It's quite the week. Still licking wounds, but got to look forward here. And we got two returning guests. Very special guest. We got Dr. Nick all the way from Wisconsin. Nick, how we doing?
Good, good. Thanks for having me back. It's good to be back.
Appreciate you working with us. I know you're on Centra time.
That's correct, yes.
Wyoming
it's
time.
It's weird to get used to that.
Yeah.
When I first moved here, it's weird to get used to that.
And we got Buzz Natch 7 in the house. Buzz, how's it going?
It's good. Starting to get ready for a playoff push here in a few leagues.
Here we go. And Buzz, me and you got a big matchup this week.
We do.
Not very happy with my injury luck lately. Every week I'm having multiple guys carted off. So it's upsetting, but I'm up for the challenge.
You still got a nice looking lineup, even with the guys you lost. So
yeah, I gotta get some guys healthy. I need to get Jamar back. I need to get Big Mike back. I don't think either will happen this week, but fingers crossed. You never know. Buzz, how did you do? How many leagues are you in, and what was your record last week?
Well, redraft, I'm in 5 leagues. Dynasty, I've lost count at this point in time. But I'll stick to redraft since that's kind of what we're talking about here. I had a pretty good week this week. I went 5-0. Yeah, it hasn't happened
pretty good,
a ton
I guess.
This year. But I feel like the teams are starting to hit their stride a little bit. I've been riding Kenny Walker and JJ in most of the leagues. But, yeah, it's been pretty fruitful lately.
Yeah, you got to like having those two. Nick, how about you?
Yeah, I'm in 6 dynasty leagues and just 1 redraft, but those leagues in general are going pretty well. But last week was a pretty rough go for me. I was a 2-5 total. Couple of those leagues I'm purposefully rebuilding, so I don't mind the loss. But really thriving in the dynasty league that I'm in with you and Buzz. I'm just getting very lucky. My team's not that great, but I'm 9-1 somehow. So
yeah. I think we play in the next coming weeks. Is it this week? I can't remember. Sometime in the next few weeks.
It's just solid. I mean, I'm not going to put up big points, but I've gotten very lucky. So
yeah, I play the slime balls this week, but I know me and you have a matchup coming up, and I've actually hit my stride a little bit in that league too. I'm pretty happy with how my team's been doing, but I looked at your team expecting it to be this like dominant force, and it's not. You just had guys really play well. Yeah,
I have Tyreek Kittle. He's carrying me, and Josh Jacobs is doing pretty well as well for me. But
right,
you have Zach Wilson too, right?
Yeah, Z Dub. Yeah.
Jerry, how did you do last week?
I went 2-3. So it seems like that's what I'd go every week right now. 2 big wins, though. Barely, kind of similar to Nick here, I have a team where I'm in our league, Dub League. I've gotten lucky quite a few times, barely scoring any points, but my opponent just completely failing that week. Big matchup against my co-host here this week.
Huge
I'm
matchup.
In major trouble. I have like 4 or 5 of my starters on buys. Fournette, Evans, I mean, everyone.
It's Christian bad. Kirk, yeah. Jerry, I would not worry about waivers tonight. We are recording this on a Tuesday, even though Wednesday is usually our night. But I wouldn't worry about waivers. I think you got a good core where you're at. So just chalk this week up. And, I just lost Goddard. I'm sure Juju will be out. So not in my top form with Tua and Waddle on deck, but I think I can at least put some bodies on the squad for
some warm bodies out there.
Yeah, so I'll be anxious to see tomorrow morning who you pick up tonight, so I can kind of gauge my opponent coming up. So
they'll be, you know, jumping right into the lineup. So be prepared.
So last week I went, let's see, 3-4, which is a pretty standard week for me. Big win in Dub League, win in our Dynasty League. I think I went first in points this week. I beat, what's his name, J-Lock, whoever that guy is, by over 100. So very pleased about that. Very, very happy about that. Yeah, some teams right now that I just can't catch a break with. Jerry, big win over you in our two quarterback league. For Crook, I needed that. I know you needed it too. So that was huge.
I'm done in that league. I've been done in that league.
Yeah, you're done, but still.
That's injury league for me.
Yeah, that's bad.
My entire team fell apart. Happens. Well, that's how it goes for me in that league.
Week 11 didn't start off good. You know, some repercussions from week 10 before. Jerry will get into some top performers from last week. We'll talk about some guys that went down. The big ones, Cooper Kupp. I don't think that he probably plays again this year. High ankle sprain. He's going to have surgery tomorrow. Guaranteed IR. What do the Rams have to play for is the question. So why risk your franchise player? I'm even hearing rumors about Stafford getting shut down for a little bit. So I don't know. I traded my future next year in our keeper league for him. So obviously this one stings, but we'll get through it. Zach Ertz, same thing on the same team for me, carted off. I didn't hear the extent of the knee injury. I don't know if you guys heard a specificity on that, but it just said season-ending knee.
Yeah, that's all I got is he was done.
Yeah.
But I didn't know exactly what it was, if he tore MCL.
No ligaments, MCL, no fractures. Yeah, I'm sure it's something. It'll come out. But be interested to see how Trey McBride fares in his absence. Who was the other one? Oh, Goddard. We lost Goddard today. At first, I saw a report that said extended time, and then I saw one 10 seconds later that said sometime. I don't know what that means, really. I need Goddard back in a big way. I think it's at least a two-week, three-week absence. It's probably looking like what Mark Andrews just went through with the shoulder. So,
I think I saw AC joint or something like that for him, possibly. So,
much rather see that than a knee or an ankle or anything lower body. Definitely. For, you know, a guy as big as Goddard. So, who else? Khalil Herbert just went on IR with a hip. Monty season has returned, Jerry. I know you're happy about that.
Much needed.
I think those are the big ones. Did I miss any of the big ones? It was a rough injury week.
I think that was most of them, yeah.
Good thought. I'm sure we'll come across them.
We will. All right, Jerry, why don't you, hit us with some top guys from week 10.
Yeah, so I'm just going to go through, like, the top five guys at each position here from last week. Just a quick recap. Number one at quarterback last week, putting up 42 points. Justin Fields, again.
Smash.
Just on an absolute tear. Big, big smash player for us last week. Double smash. He played Detroit, so we expect some big numbers. We smashed him for a reason, but yeah, he's been the number one quarterback a couple weeks in a row now. And if you look at his numbers, they're pretty insane. So
as of now, from what I've heard, most, you know, professional fantasy analysts have the top quarterbacks for fantasy ranked, you know, for the rest of the season as Josh Allen at one, Mahomes at two, and Justin Fields at three. And then probably Hurts at four. I don't know how you disagree with it after, you know, the last month that the guys had. And this hasn't always been a real...
Yeah, after that, I probably put, like, Tua after that.
Tua has been good. Yeah. Yeah, Tua has been good. I think Burrow will catch on once Chase gets back.
Yeah, I mean, Fields is running just insane. 178 last week or the week prior, and then 147 this week with two touchdowns. I mean, it's just he's just like Mike Vick mode right now. Unstoppable. Fire him up at every chance you get. Number two was Mahomes. Another big week for him. 39 points, four passing touchdowns. Three, we had Tua. Another good game out of him. Three touchdowns, 285 yards. Jalen Hurts at four. And Aaron Rodgers at number five. Him, Dak Prescott, and Trevor Lawrence all basically tied for fifth with 24 points. So it was a good quarterback week. Below that, you know, there are a lot of guys all 20 plus. So real good week for quarterbacks. At wide receiver, CeeDee Lamb was the first on the week. That's the first we've seen from him this year, a big monster game. 11 catches, 150 yards, two touchdowns. First time ever 100 yards on the year. Great game there. Love to see that. Justin Jefferson at two, making one of the craziest catches we've ever seen.
Unbelievable.
He's just doing Jefferson things. He got targeted 16 times. I mean, that was a long, crazy game. 10 for 193 and a touchdown. The big breakout this week at Green Bay was Christian Watson. I'm sure he's going to be the most popular ad in most leagues.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 8 targets, 4 catches for 107 and 3 touchdowns. So 4 catches, 3 touchdowns. Pretty impressive.
I think he had like 3 drops too, because that could have been a much bigger game.
They were bad drops too, like real bad drops.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, the one would have been a touchdown. He just looked back instead of, you know, the ball was already out there for him and he didn't see it.
Yeah. It was like that week one catch where it just hit him right in the chest. But hey, he got a few done though. At number 4, Christian Kirk. He's really reemerging these past few weeks. He went 9 for 105 and 2 touchdowns. And another surprise on the week at number 5 was Nick Westbrook-Ikhine from Tennessee Titans. He went 5 for 119 and 2 against the Broncos. So interesting week at wide receiver. Some new names there. Christian Kirk, it keeps creeping back up. Running back, Jonathan Taylor, right after I traded him, he's back on track, 23 fantasy points, 147 yards and a touchdown. I added 2 catches to that as well. Dalv had a good week at number 2. He put up 22 points. James Conner at 3, Aaron Jones at 4, and Saquon at 5. He had 150 yards, touchdown. James Conner got all his points, mainly from his touchdowns, to 69 rushing yards. A pretty good week for running backs as well. A lot of plus 20 games. Some honorable mentions. Jacobs had another big week. Jeff Wilson, Tony Pollard, Dante Foreman. All great performances this week. Tight end. Cole Kmet, once again, having a big week. Him and Fields are starting to get some chemistry together, it looks like. 4 for 74 and 2 touchdowns. Travis Kelce, of course, at 2. Dalton Schultz with a big week, 17 points, 6 for 54 and a touch. Juwan Johnson keeps finding his way on these high on these tight end rankings, 5 for 44 and a touchdown. And Higbee rounded out at number 5 for 8 for 73, caught all 8 of his targets. Not a bad week for tight ends either.
Yeah, and I just cut Higbee, and now it looks like he's probably going to be the number 1 target. For the Rams going forward, just because of his short A dot. So you got to love how that works out.
One question I
have about this Bears offense. Do you think that Fields will stay committed to throwing Cole Kmet the football?
It sure looks like it right now. It's like they're finally figuring it out.
Yeah, I think Kmet is pretty good, and he's been on the field for 90%+ of the snaps every single game. He just, the first half of the season, he just wasn't getting any targets, mainly because they weren't throwing the ball hardly ever. And
yeah, I like Kmet a lot.
I'm not a Kmet guy, but I think it's going to be hit or miss on who's getting the balls thrown to him each week.
I look for Fields to cool down, you know, a little bit. I mean, I still think he's going to be good and all that, but if you look at the upcoming schedule for them, I mean, he's got Atlanta this week, which I think is a good matchup for him, but then he's got the Jets, Green Bay, Philly, Buffalo after that.
Yeah, tough finish.
I think he didn't he do well against Dallas, who has a pretty good defense as well.
Yeah, he did.
QB5, yeah, he did.
Dallas isn't great against the run, though. They do give up a lot against the run,
and neither is Philly as long as Jordan Davis is out. You saw what the Durs did to him last night.
Yeah.
So.
And defenses are going to start to get wise to the way their offense is running now, too, yeah. I think. So.
Actually, Jerry and I were just talking about that yesterday. These rushing quarterbacks, it seems like that's a trend. They go balls to the wall, kind of shot out of the gate, and then teams get a little smart with how to contain them, and they start to cool down, to your point. Yeah. So I agree with that. We'll get a little look ahead into week 11 here. Huge week. Can't take a loss at this point. I don't care what your record is. You don't want to take a loss if you're at the top. You want to try to solidify that bye if you can get one. And if you're in the middle, you got to root for those teams below you to lose. And you can't take one yourself. So Thursday game, Titans and Packers. Not too entertaining. Packers coming off a big win. I'm anxious to see, for selfish reasons, how Treylon Burks gets worked back into the offense. He was on the field for like 70% of snaps last week, I believe. So, you know, Westbrook Akine got the high-value targets, obviously, and made a lot out of them. But I don't think the Packers are for real at all. So it'll be a good game for that reason. You know, Titans are top in the AFC, so...
I look for that to be pretty low scoring. I think both defenses are pretty decent.
Yeah. Not to mention it's a Thursday game, so.
yeah, that's going to help.
Bears-Falcons, again, I don't think any of these defenses are very good. I do think Fields will have a nice game. Probably not to the extent the last couple weeks, but Patterson looked bad last week. So I think we're done with the Kyle Pitts experiment. I'm done smashing him on here. I think I'm 0-5.
Yeah. That's so frustrating. Drake London, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Pitts, London, I mean.
Both very frustrating.
I think I saw a stat. Pitts has, like, the highest uncatchable pass per target percentage, yeah, like, in the NFL. It's just stupid.
I think he had eight targets last week, but he... Yeah.
Yeah. There was one he was running wide open for like at least 25 yards, if not more, and Mariota just airmailed it. And it's like, what are you doing?
I hope that the Falcons start losing so maybe we can get a glimpse at Ridder. I'd really like to see that. Yeah, so Panthers at Ravens. I think Baker's starting this week. PJ Walker, that's another injury. High ankle sprain. Nobody really knew about it. They played Thursday. All of a sudden it popped up, I think, yesterday, that he had it, and Baker starting again. So little AFC North reunion with the Ravens. I don't think the Ravens are particularly that good, but I think they'll probably steamroll the Panthers here. So whoever's starting at running back for the Ravens, I think, can be in for a good matchup. I think Gus is supposed to be back. Browns at Bills. Josh Allen didn't seem too limited. Mentally made a lot of errors. But physically, I don't think we have much concern unless there's a setback with this UCL issue. Gabe Davis and Diggs both had huge games. You know, in a loss for fantasy purposes, it's better if these games are close, obviously, so they don't take the foot off the gas. Browns are horrible. Miami Dick slapped them last week. I think Watson will start practicing this week. I kind of want to see how rusty he is against the Texans when he comes back. I think that's just... The NFL knew what they were doing when they suspended him that long, and seeing him come back against the Texans, you got to think a lot of people are going to put money on the Texans, right? Like, that's how this sets up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chubb will still
get that's so ironic. That's so stupid. Like, that's how they set it up, you know, that he plays the Texans the week he comes back, you know.
Yeah, like, don't act like that's not what you guys were doing.
Clearly planned. Yeah.
The Washington Durs at the Texans, not an inspiring matchup. I was talking with Crook earlier on my way home, and basically, I like whatever the number is of Brian Robinson carries, rushing attempts, I want the over against the Texans. Not any production. Just the carries, because you see what he plotted to last night against the Eagles, Texans' worst run defense in the league. Robinson's, it's probably going to be around 17 or 18. He's got to get close to 30, I would think. Even Gibson's ankle's bad, so.
Is his ankle bad? Because he came back in after.
I don't think it's bad, but there's always that adrenaline thing. You know what I mean? Like, you twist an ankle and bang, no, I'm good. Yeah. And then the next day it blows up and.
Yeah, you can. As I say, you can take your shoe off and it just swells up crazy. But
yeah,
so Gibson, I think, looks quite superior to Robinson.
He's so much better.
Just in the eye test, yeah, I don't think it's even close.
I did think that Robinson looked a little better last night, though, than he had the previous couple weeks. I thought he had a little more burst than he did when he first came back.
That's fair. It's obvious they're committed to giving it to him, you know, and they ran the ball, I think, 50 times. So Heinicke can win games, and this is almost like a situation I talked about with Geno Smith and Drew Lock preseason, and I was way off, obviously, but I just compared it to, like, if you want DK and Lockett to produce numbers, Locke will be your better option, but Geno will win you more games and not be as flashy. And that seems like the Heineke-Wentz transition to me, because Heineke's not going to give you 2-3 touchdowns a week, but he's probably going to win the game if he can keep it close. It's just kind of the guy he's been over the past couple of years. Wentz couldn't be more opposite.
I agree with that.
McLaurin definitely is much better with Heineke.
Yeah, McLaurin. Yep. Terry's way better. It's not even close.
Yep.
Well, I didn't even see Dotson get any action last night. I you know, with him coming back from injury, I saw him on the field a couple times, but I didn't see him get any targets hardly at all.
He had a catch. He had a bad offensive pass interference penalty.
Yeah.
So that could have had something to do with maybe he, you know, didn't get a bunch of playing time after that. Could be. I don't know. I know he got.
He was probably just limited just because of coming back from the.
Yeah.
Hammy kept him out for a while. Don't want to re-aggravate it.
Eagles sure work at, him more. Eagles at Colts, so they're obviously going to be pissed coming off that loss. Colts just lost Shaquille Leonard for the year, so another big injury we forgot about. Also known as Darius Leonard, big, big leader in the middle of that defense. Yeah, I think Eagles will have no problem even without Goddard, so hopefully a nice – comeback game for A.J. Brown after that little ankle injury scare. I was holding my breath when he kind of limped off to that sideline there, but obviously he was fine.
I thought hammy at first. When I first saw him limping off, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jets at Pats. This is in Foxborough, so it could be a toss-up. Still, you know, Wilson's terrible. Zach. So I might have to start Garrett Wilson this week. Wouldn't be that upset about it. I think they're going to have to throw both good defenses, probably a low scoring game if I were a betting man, but I think I like the Pats here. What do you guys make of this Patriots team? It's kind of weird.
It's a fantasy nightmare other than Ramondre Stevenson. Yeah. He seems to have taken that, and I think he'll have a pretty good game against the Jets, but they're not very fun to watch because it's boring football, but
yeah.
And you got to remember that the Jets, when they played them a couple weeks ago, if Zach Wilson doesn't throw the ball right into he's scrambling out and he's trying to throw the ball out of bounds, but instead he throws it right to the New England defender and interception and another interception right after that. I mean, I think they win that game. So if he can, you know, not play like an idiot, I think they could pull that out, you know.
If he can do that, though.
Z-Dub.
I mean, they beat beat the Bills, and, you know.
They did. They beat the – I put 40 up on the Dolphins. I remember that. Can't forget that.
Yeah.
So, they're not bad.
They're not bad. I don't think they're 6-3 good, but they're certainly a pretty good team.
Right.
Rams at Saints. I don't know. We talked about Stafford and Kupp. You got to think I actually think Skowronek will probably be their leading receiver from here on out. Just seems to fit that scheme a little bit better. Has a little bit of Cooper Kupp to him, but, you know, much bigger. He's like he plays a lot of fullback, too. Don't know about Stafford. Honestly, Jameis might even start this game for the Saints. So,
that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. At the NFL, every year the NFL gets weirder. This Andy Dalton Jameis thing is super weird. Daltons have real good games and then looks horrible. I would like to see a little bit of Jameis again. You got to think the 3-7. Dalton's for sure not your future. Jameis might be. You never know. He's still young enough, but, you know, give the guy a chance, I think.
Do you think Jameis coming back, if he does start this week, do you think that hurts Kamara going forward?
Yes.
I do.
Yes.
He does not like to check the down.
Regardless, I like Olave. I don't think he's affected, but Kamara gets a pretty decent, maybe like a 20% downgrade if Jameis is at the helm.
That's Lions a game that is not going to be interesting at all to watch.
There's so many games. I feel like we do this every week, and it's like, oh, this game's boring. This game will be dumb. I don't care about this game. Lions at Giants, another one, even with a 7-2 team, that'll be boring. See if Swift gets a little bit more involved. Jamal looks like he's just the 1A at this point. Regardless of health, I don't know. I think the big story here is that will any pass catcher emerge for the Giants? Because it doesn't seem like they need anybody to be that good. It seems like it might be Slayton.
Slayton? Yeah, I was going to say Slayton seems like he's really come on lately, and I don't like him, but
he's seems all they have. Consistent. Wandale Robinson doesn't seem to be getting too much action. I mean, Barkley got 35 carries, I think, last week. Yeah. I mean, he's the offense. That's it.
He is. And Jones can run, too. I don't know what his line was last week, but he's got wheels. He's athletic.
He's quick. He's surprisingly fast.
Yeah. I've always been kind of a Danny Dimes guy. This is for sure the best he's played. Obviously, that's a big tip of the cap to Brian Daboll. But I like the Giants team. I don't think their defense is particularly too good. And if they got a score with the big boys in the AFC, I don't think they can do it. Raiders at Broncos. Jerry, which team's worse in your opinion? As a Broncos fan.
I'd say the Broncos are worse, maybe. I don't know. They're both bad.
The Raiders are holes. They're so bad.
They're both complete scam artists is what they are. They're frauds.
Carr and Russ just sitting back counting their money. Who did they have to fool the last couple years to get these paydays? Like, it's crazy.
Oh, it's pitiful. Yeah, that's going to be a mess of a game. It's not going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. Judy looked like he escaped a serious injury. Everybody was saying, like, torn ACL when he went down just from the way that it happened. But, no, he just twisted his ankle. He's fine.
The way that they announced that was just weird because they're like, it's the back of his ankle, but it's not his Achilles. Well, there's not a whole lot else back there.
He said he might have strained a muscle right behind his ankle. Like, what?
Yeah.
That's
the diagnosis? He might.
Very, very, very exact. Very on the nose. Cowboys at Vikings. Huge matchup. It's probably my favorite game of the week, the one I'm looking forward to most. Nick, as a Cowboys fan, who I think has probably the best defense in the NFL, they just got beat by Rodgers in a bottom five offense easy. Do you think their secondary is the issue here? It's got to be, right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think they were – I mean, they weren't ready for – I don't think anybody expected Christian Watson to have the game that he had. And, you know, but – Rodgers is Rodgers, you know. He's super talented, and he can do that to anybody. If to any defense in the league, he just hasn't this year so far. But yeah, I'd say secondary. And it was a tough game. Being in Wisconsin, everybody here is Packer fans, so took some heat.
What did you think of Rodgers?
I enjoyed that game.
Chewing out LaFleur on the sideline.
Yeah, and McCarthy wanted to prove a point, you know, and not kicking the field goal there at the end and everything. So, you know, maybe if they convert and it works, then he's a genius, you know. So
I can't wait to watch JJ go against Diggs because he's just going to make him look stupid.
Yeah, he is. That might be a three touchdown game. I'm not a Trayvon Diggs guy. He makes good splash plays. He just gives up everything.
Yeah.
Bengals at Steelers. Steelers with a big win over the Saints. I don't know. At formerly known as Heinz Field, Acrisure. How do you say that, Buzz?
I haven't figured it out yet.
Aflac Stadium is what we're going to call it in the old Pirate games. We need an Aflac pitching change. Mixon hopes to stay on track. I need a big game from Mixon this week. TJ Watt back, beat me to it.
I think since he's going to struggle without Chase.
I agree. I definitely agree. So this one is going to be a very close game, I feel like. And the Steelers in a 4-25 game is odd, playing division opponent. That's just super weird.
Well, they flexed it out of the Sunday night game.
Oh, that's true, yeah. I do remember seeing that, yeah.
That's right, yeah, to move the Chargers-Chiefs.
And they flexed in Chiefs at Chargers. We'll see if Justin can get one or two of his big weapons back that he needs them so bad.
He needs some help.
Yeah, he's struggling so bad. His Chargers team, I'm surprised they have 5 wins with how bad it's been without those guys. Jerry Everett went down. On the Chiefs side, Juju, big head injury. It's another one we missed there. And he had, like, the Tua hands immediately. It looked bad.
Yeah.
Definitely yeah. didn't see the big deal that everybody made about the Tua thing with this one. It looked just as bad. Had to be helped off the field. Didn't get stretchered off, but probably should have been. I don't see a world where Juju plays this week with what we've seen unless my eyes have been deceiving me. So, you know, I'll have to find a contingency plan against Jerry.
We need to hire the Dolphins. Maybe the Dolphins medical staff is
the independent neurologist.
Yeah. Maybe he got fired from Miami and went to Kansas City. And
you never know. Crazy things have happened. Chiefs will probably dominate that. Hope maybe Kadarius Toney gets a little bit more run if Juju's out. He looked very, very good last week. So
did you see him, how he was going into the end zone on that first touchdown?
Yeah.
The hopscotch thing?
Well, he was faking like he had a hamstring injury because that was why he didn't play for the Giants for so long.
Oh, yeah.
And what a thing that is. I can't wrap my head around why either one of them kept it quiet or lied about it, or maybe he just didn't want to play there, so he said he was hurt, or the coaching staff was saying that just as an excuse not to play him. I still haven't figured out the reasoning, really, but it's weird nonetheless.
Well, and that came out like even before the draft, that once Dable got hired, that they didn't want anything to do with Toney and they were going to shop him. And it was like, you haven't even had like OTAs or anything like that to know what you have with him.
Yeah, you might have never even spoken to the guy.
Yeah.
That brings
maybe that pissed him off where they were talking about trading him. And he's like, all right, well, I'm not going to play for you guys.
Yeah. That very well could be it. Yeah. He seems to be happy in KC, though. So we'll see what he can do. Buzz, I know you grabbed him in our league. I'm hoping to get a little bit of something out of him this year.
He can chill this week. That's for sure.
I was hot after Toney as soon as I saw that trade happen.
Yeah. If I had any room, I might have right been there with you fighting for him. I grabbed him in Jared's league because I had an empty bench spot, but I was in a bad way in my bench that week. I couldn't have got him anyway. So
yeah.
I do think he'll produce, though. I do. The more plays and participation. Monday night, 49ers at Cardinals. Cardinals, a huge win. Are they just a better team with Colt McCoy? Because I think they just might be.
less exciting, but probably a better team.
I thought they looked pretty good, actually. You know, Nuke got his. Connor looked great. Connor looked super fresh. I think he was probably ready to come back a couple weeks ago, but maybe they just knew how James Connor is and wanted to give him a little bit extra rest. And they cut Eno today. Super surprising. A report that I saw is that Eno got very aggressive asking for more playing time because he got like one snap when Connor came back. And something must have happened behind closed doors, and they sent him his walking papers, and Houston scooped him up very quickly.
Yeah.
So, interesting development. I thought that couple games they filled in, Eno looked better than Keonta Ingram at least. So, I mean, it must have been something bad if they really just cut him. It's not like he's making any money. Preview for week 11. Got some big matchups coming up. Now a word from one of our sponsors.
When your family is real hungry, eat an Applebee's. Special steak delivery from your friends in Applebee's. Happy in Applebee's, you'll be happy in Applebee's, you'll be happy in Applebee's. Get some sweetheart wings and some pepperoni when you're real hungry with your family in Applebee's. Stromboli, calzone, get some Italian cuisine in Applebee's.
Shout out to Napoli's Pizzeria. Buzz, Dubois resident. Or no, you're not a Dubois resident anymore. What am I thinking? You still frequent Dubois every now and then, probably more than Nick, but both of you, question, what is your favorite thing to get at Napoli's?
pretty easily for me, it's the sweet sauce pizza. Anytime we've had that for our draft party, I can't stop eating it. It's so good.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been there. But I'd have to agree with the pizza on that one.
Yeah, they make a nice pie. I like that sweet sauce.
It used to be back before Webb owned it. It used to be the cheesesteak, but I haven't had one since he's bought it, so it could be the same. That would be right there with the sweet sauce pizza.
That's what Glock said last week. I do think it's just as good, if not a little bit better. So you're in for a treat next time you try it.
Yeah, I might have to grab one next time I'm home.
I'll have to do that as well.
Okay, now we'll jump into the Fantasy Funkhouse Stock Exchange. So first time we'll have a foursome at this, I believe. But are we buying? Are we selling? Are we trading? What do we got here, guys? Jerry, why don't you start us off, the wily veteran?
Okay, I got a good one here. So with the cup injury, we know he's out at least 4 weeks, could be more. So with the remaining wide receivers in Los Angeles, let's buy, sell, and trade Van Jefferson, Skowronek, or Allen Robinson. Buy one, sell one, and trade one.
I'm going to go ahead and say I'd like to cut Allen Robinson because I think he's the worst, but he'd probably get you the most for a trade just because his name's Allen Robinson. So I'd probably trade Robinson, I'd buy Skowronek, and I'd cut. Sell. Yeah, I'd cut Jefferson. Sell him, yeah.
Buzz?
Yeah, I think I'd buy Robinson just because I feel like they're going to force feed him the ball a little bit more with Cup out. I'd sell Skowronek, and I'd cut Van Jefferson. Neither of them really do much for me, and it does seem like they like Skowronek, but I don't know that you're ever going to feel comfortable putting him in a lineup.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think Robinson gets the most target share out of that. And I'd probably sell Skowronek and Van Jefferson is kind of a boom bust play, but maybe he's a guy you could put in and hope that they decide to throw the ball down the field and he catches a long ball, you know?
Yeah, I think for me, I'd probably trade Robinson just because of the name and hope to get something of value out of him. I guess I'll buy Skowronek and sell Van Jefferson just because of the boomer bust value there. It's a tough one, though. I'm not thrilled about any of them, you know?
Yeah, it's a good one.
If I could cut, I would do that.
Cut all three of them.
That offense is just bad. Like, I their line is so bad from the games I've watched of them.
Yeah.
They just can't seem to get anything going. And without Cup, oh boy.
Yeah.
I mean, he is the offense.
And good luck running the ball with no Cup to take any distractions away from that whatsoever. So
I will say from a fantasy matchup perspective, I absolutely hate going up against Cooper Kupp because when you're watching those games, every pass goes to Cooper Kupp. Yeah. And it's like point here, point there, point. Oh, it's so frustrating. And it I don't is. Own him in any league I have. So.
I have zero shares of him as well.
Yeah.
A big question that I have for the rest of the season is Deebo Samuel. He drafted high to mid second round, a wide receiver one, the number two overall receiver last year. Just kind of an open-ended, what the hell do you guys think about Deebo going forward? Are you comfortable starting him still? Where would you rank him? Top 24, top 36?
I'd have him as top 36. I'd definitely be selling him. With McCaffrey there, now Elijah Mitchell getting there, they want to split those carries. Ayuk's been getting, I feel like anytime I watch a Niners game, Ayuk's more of a focal point than Deebo is.
I think so.
And they've taken away him in the rushing game. So that was part of his, that was big value for him last year, what he did in the rushing game. So I'd be selling, but.
I'm a little more optimistic on Deebo, just because of his skill set, and with Shanahan, he loves to run it so much. He'll run it with 10 guys if he can, but I still think he was hurt there. He's just getting back from injury. I think you give him a chance these next couple weeks. I mean, it's a risk if you own him, you're not always going to find someone to trade them away right away either. So I would ride it out yet. Just wait and see. McCaffrey might open things up more for Debo too.
Yeah, I think the San Francisco offense is a tough one to predict in general. I mean, I think now that they got McCaffrey, he's going to get his every week, for sure. But the passing game is tough to predict in San Francisco as to who's going to do what. And I think if you have him on your roster, you have to start him because of the potential you have with him. But I'm with Buzz on that I would like to, I'd be trying to trade him, you know, his name, the value of it, but I think he's more of a boom or bust type scenario with him. And I'd try to trade him if you could.
Yeah. I feel like if he's my wide receiver 3, I'm comfortable. Anything more than that, I'm uncomfortable unless I'm loaded at running back.
So what do we think with the injury to Khalil Herbert, David Montgomery? I mean, obviously Fields has been running a lot. What are you doing with David Montgomery moving forward?
Honestly, I think Monty's probably like a top 15 guy rest of the way. Till Herbert's back, at least, he's got to be with how efficient they are at running the football right now, whether it was any of those three guys. But the volume will tick up. You know, they had Herbert in some red zone packages, not exactly like goal line, but a lot of red zone work. So that'll go to Monty. Those are high valuable touches.
That's what I was going to say. I think his potential for touchdowns increases a lot because it seemed that anytime they were getting close, it was Herbert was the guy. So
yeah. Or Fields himself, but yeah.
Right, right. But I think we could see some touchdown production out of Monty this coming weeks.
You looking to acquire him then? Buy him?
If it's possible.
Now is going to want to hold him hostage because he owns that backfield. And depending on the price, I'd buy, but it's situational.
For whatever reason, if you bought him low last week, you hit the jackpot. We'll just say that.
Yeah.
I think I'd be selling. I think with Herbert going on the IR, I think it gives you a prime sell opportunity to get more value out of him than what he's probably worth. I think that offense is just going to continue to run through Fields. And I used to be a big Montgomery guy, but he looks more like a plotter to me the more I watch him play.
And he's not an exciting athlete by any means. He's just solid. No. I think he gets what is given to him.
Yeah. And that's, I think with the volume, he could give you some good weeks, but I'd be looking, if you could find a team who was desperate for running back, you could probably extract some pretty good value at another position from him.
I agree.
He's a guy that if you're doing a fantasy draft and he's probably the best person available, but you're not excited about the pick.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's very well said.
Joe Burrow. Buying or selling Joe?
I guess it depends for me on how confident you are in Chase's return from injury. From what I've read, some of these doctors are saying that there's a high likelihood of re-injury, and obviously the sooner you come back. There was rumors he would come back after the bye, which is this week. I don't think that's going to happen, but 6 weeks would be another 2 weeks, I believe, maybe three. For healing time, but most people are saying that, you know, a hip fracture and a labrum tear is not going to heal in 6 weeks. So he played on it and looked okay. So I think this rest will still do him good regardless, but I definitely think they're going to try to make a push and he's going to be back this year. I don't think there's a chance they shut him down unless something catastrophic happens. So I think you buy Burrow. I think he had a pretty good game. You know, the weeks that they've had, that they've not had Chase, he's looked bad and he's looked good. So, you know, bad, very bad against the Browns. And that's not a great defense. That's concerning. I'd say if you need a quarterback, you're buying him. There's not a ton of guys that I would start over Burrow, maybe 6 or 7. I think we talked about that, you know, earlier in the show. But I'd rather start Burrow over Brady, Dak, probably.
Cousins.
Yeah, Cousins. Carr, that's kind of right where I have maybe around
he has so much upside.
Yeah.
Compared to some of these guys. And
yeah. 7 or 8.
I don't know. Probably. It's weird. Like 1 week they look like the worst team in the league, and then the next week they look like the best team. So there's definitely the consistency isn't there, which is the problem with him, because that's what you want in a quarterback. You want your quarterback getting you 20 points a week guaranteed. And he's kind of been more boom or bust, but I'm still in on Burrow just because of the weapons he has on that offense. Better option, and he has a bad matchup or something, I think you're starting him for the most part.
Looking at matchups here, he's got Pittsburgh, Tennessee, and then weeks 13, 14, 15, they got Kansas City. That could be a shootout. Cleveland, Tampa Bay, week 16 is New England. So,
yeah.
I like that schedule.
Not the easiest schedule.
I kind of like it, actually. New England's tough. I want those shootout games. I don't think Pittsburgh's secondary is great, especially without Minkah. Watt's pressure is a huge game changer. That's what I'm more worried about with them. But the rest of those teams you listed off, I'm not like super afraid of by any means. This Dolphins backfield, Jeff Wilson comes in, is running wild, looks unbelievable, to be honest with you. I think he looks so good. I think he ran away with this job. I think Mostert's more of a change of pace guy, which is crazy with how good Mostert's looked. Do you think Wilson keeps it? Do you think it's more of a timeshare? It seems like they're running the ball really efficient. The line's playing well. And obviously, the concepts that McDaniel is running seems to be working very well. So just curious what you guys take on, you know, is there a clear leader here? Or are these kind of big Jeff Wilson games matchup issues?
What did Mostert do this week?
He had a good game. He had a tut. He had a few catches. I think he had like 16 14, 16.
8 for 65 and a touch. Four targets, four catches, 22. He had 18.7 points.
18 points.
Yeah, I mean, I feel comfortable almost starting both of these guys. I didn't expect Wilson to come in and kind of take over like he has. He had a huge game last week. I don't know. I think that backfield will be somewhat unpredictable, but I think it leans towards the Wilson being the first and second down back and Mostert being the third down back, which is a nice combo to have with the rest of the weapons they have. So I would probably lean towards that Wilson's more the lead, going to be the lead back. And then, like you said, Mostert will be the, you know, the catching back and the change of pace guy.
Yeah. I think they're going to use both. And I think, like Jared said, I'd be comfortable starting either one of them. I think it's going to be almost a 50-50 split, and depending on who's the hot hand, they might give that guy a 60 or 70. It just depends on game and who's performing better that day.
Yeah, I agree with that as well.
And I'm a big fan of the Dolphins' dry humor of the head coach Mike.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I love McDaniel. Do you think he was the brains behind the Shanahan offense? Because I do.
It could be. It's very similar offense, but he's got little tweaks to it that you don't see Shanahan running, but I don't know the way.
He seems like a little genius.
Yeah. The way that.
It doesn't seem like a football guy. It just seems like he's really smart and he figured it all out.
Chris J texted me like, I think last week, he's like, how much weed do you think McDaniel smokes? So probably a fair amount. You never know. So
I have another good keep or a question for you if you got time.
DeAndre close this Swift. Out here.
DeAndre Swift.
I'd sell if you can. Man. Sell the name.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Jamal.
Super talented, but they don't. I don't know if he's still injured or they just don't want to.
Yeah, it's
get him re-injured. But
it's
man,
safe to say they're not saving him for the playoffs. I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't know where you guys had him. Me and Jerry had him as like RB7 or 8 coming into this year. I know we were really high on him, and why wouldn't you be? But
yeah, I mean, last year he was unreal when he played. I don't know what they really are starting to move towards Jamal Moore. He's kind of the guy to start there right now. I don't know if that'll continue. Maybe I think maybe he's just maybe he's not 100% back and 100% yet, and they're just slowly moving him back in, but. I don't know. It's the Lions. They're not known to make great decisions.
I had him as a top 3 dynasty back coming into the year, and he's nowhere near that. They're just like you said, Jamal Williams seems to be a Dan Campbell guy, and he's going to continue to feed him. He's going to get the touchdown opportunities. I read a report there, not this past week, but the week before, that Swift was a little pissed about his usage. Like, he felt he was healthy, and he was not getting the snaps, so.
Interesting.
That makes me think he's healthy enough to play, and they're just either being cautious with him, or he pissed somebody off in the doghouse or something.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, he only played 31% of the snaps last week, 16% against Green Bay the week before.
And Justin Jackson seems to be getting a little run here.
Yeah.
And Craig Reynolds before that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is real annoying that either of those guys are even playing on a team.
Yeah.
Makes me just want to, thinking about it, I just want to smash my TV. So we'll get into our final segment. Shout out to Burger Daddy. I believe that the food truck season has closed. I'm sure he'll correct me on that. If not, hopefully you got down to the winery at Wilcox for some patties. And I don't know if it's indoor, so I don't think the winery is seasonal. Do you know, Jerry?
I'm not sure. I'm sure they're rocking.
You know, if they're open, step on in and talk to Steph and tell him the champ sent you. Tell him the Funk House sent you. You get a free 1 ounce flight of some wines to try. So that'll be a nice little treat on a brisk fall day. It'll keep your ribs nice and warm. Maybe not as much as a smash burger, but it'll do you just fine. So get into a review of the smashes from last week. Jerry, who did you have and how'd they do?
I had a couple of super smashes here. Fields at QB. He was a QB1. We talked about him a lot already. 4 touchdowns, 2 in the air, 2 on the ground. He can't be stopped. Super smash. Wide receiver at CD. He was also the wide receiver 1 on the week. 150 yards, 2 touchdowns. I called he was going to get over 100 this game, and he sure did. Running back, I had A.J. Dillon. It was my last desperate call for help to try and give him, you know, that extra boost, and he failed me. Once again, I'm officially out on him. It's all Aaron Jones. Unless there's an injury to Aaron Jones, Dillon's can be left on your bench or on the waiver wire. Tight end, our boy Greg Dulcich, did not have a good day. 1 catch for 11 yards. It was just a slow, boring defensive game for the most part. Titans kind of turned it on later, but I like Dulcich, but it's pretty hard to trust anyone on that offense. If Judy misses any time, maybe we see a little more of Dulcich than Sutton, but we're not seeing really much of anyone on that offense, so
yeah.
Going to avoid.
Well, me, you, and Glock are the Super Smash Bros, I guess. We all went Fields. So
love it.
Pretty obvious one, but we had to run with it while we could. Before Justin Fields isn't allowed to be smashed anymore because he's, you know, a top 3 guy. So unless one of you guys have him this week, which wouldn't surprise me one bit. So my running back was...
That was my guy, but I had 2.
That's all right. So. No, you got him. He's still eligible. Definitely. I'm with you. CPAT, Cordell Patterson, terrible game, 18 rush yards, 1 catch, 2 points.
Wow.
On a blustery, or excuse me, we'll say a rainy Thursday game, low scoring, 2 bad teams. I still don't know why he didn't have a great game. It's very weird. It's set up very well for him. Panthers got ahead early, obviously, but he can catch the ball. Wide receiver, Poopy Coopy, prove that name to be right. 3 for 32 and 6. An interesting take that I heard last week, and then obviously the recap of this week, is the home-away splits of Amari Cooper are drastic. So his home games, he's averaging like close to 100 yards a game, and the away games is like 35. It's not good. I don't really believe in that kind of stuff, but you never know. You don't sleep the same in a hotel as you do your same bed, so it could be the same for catching a football on a fucking field of grass or turf. I don't know. I've never done it. So some of these weird things happen. Whether you believe it or not, it's up to you. And close it out. Again, we double smashed Dulcich. 2 points. So I had 3 abysmal ones and a big smash with Fields. Davey Glock was on. Again, he had Fields. Jamal Williams, he had 59 yards and a tut just south of the smash threshold. He also had Olave and Goddard for a tight end. He did have Njoku, who in turn didn't play, but I did give him an out to pick a guy. He went with Goddard. Olave.
And look what he did to him.
Yeah, he killed him. And now we don't get to play him. Olave had 7 points. Goddard went 3 for 32 and a tut. Looked great on you know the routes he was out there. The Durs are pretty tough against tight ends. So hopefully, you know, prayers up to Dallas Goddard. Get healthy soon. I need you for a big run here. And on to week 11. I'll go ahead and start us off here with a quarterback who I think will get at least one weapon back in a shootout Sunday night game. Herbie Hancock. He's due. He's had some down weeks. And I don't think Casey's defense is that great. He's going to have to throw the ball. Probably another 26 targets to Eckler, but I do think one of his receivers will come back. I don't know which one. I'd guess Big Mike beforehand. We'll see. So I like Herbert this week.
Double smash.
Nice.
I also had Herbert, and I thought I was, you know, I did not expect a double smash out of him the way he's been performing. But like you said, I think there's a possibility he gets both his guys back. But I don't know if that'll happen. That'd be great. But, yeah, I think it could be a shootout against the Chiefs. Hopefully he puts up those top three numbers we've been hoping for since about week one, I believe.
Yeah. Buzz, who do you got?
I got Cousins. I think the Dallas-Minnesota game is going to be a shootout, and I don't think Dallas' secondary is very good. So I think he and Jefferson and Thielen and Hawkinson are all going to have pretty good games.
Yeah.
Like that. And I went with Dak, being a Cowboys fan. Right. It was either Dak or Kirk, so I went with Dak. And like Buzz said, I think it's going to be a shootout, so I think they're going to have to pass quite a bit. And I'm predicting over 300 and three touches.
Nice. That's going to be such a fun game to watch. I'm very excited for that. Yeah. Nick, why don't you start us off with a running back, and we'll kind of snake back up through.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Derrick Henry Thursday night against Green Bay. I feel like they're going to have trouble passing the ball, and Derrick Henry's going to get a lot of work. I could see him scoring two touchdowns, just because it's going to be a slow grind the game away, and he's going to get 25, 30 carries and just pound the ball.
I like it. Buzz?
I got JT against the Eagles. With no Jordan Davis, I know they're playing the Raiders, but JT looked like he might be back, and I think Saturday's really been pushing the line to start playing better there, and I think JT is going to have a pretty big game against the Eagles.
I love that. I think that sets up very nicely.
I hate it, but that's because I owned him and traded him away.
Hey, you still got shares.
I do. I still have him in Dynasty, so I'm okay with it. I got Kamara coming off of two down games. I think he can turn it around against this Rams team. They're in shambles. We've talked about them. Without Kupp, their offense is going to be struggling. So that means that, you know, New Orleans is going to be on the field more. I think it does kind of depend on who's starting. Dalton likes to dump it off a ton to him. When Winston's in there, he does not dump it off at all. So he seems to do better when Dalton's in there, but I think he has a bounce back week.
I would enjoy that.
Yeah. Love it. All right. My running back smash, I let it slip earlier to Jerry today, but we talked about his situation, and I think the matchup is just pristine this week. David Montgomery, this is the week. Maybe build that name up, that reputation a little bit, so then Buzz can sell you off like the commodity that you are. So I like Monty to have a nice game, few catches, and kind of plods into the end zone via through the air or on the ground, either one of them.
So, use them and lose them. That's my philosophy.
Receiver of mine, a guy that's been very hot lately, and continued in through the quarterback changeback, I guess we'll say. Paris Campbell against the Eagles. I think that Slay will probably be on Pittman, and we know how that'll end up. Got way too many shares of Pittman this year, but Campbell seems to be the number one now. We'll see if JT can open some of that up a little bit, maybe in some play action. It's very clear that Matt Ryan gives them a better chance to win and a better chance for all these receivers to produce. And you kind of fool the defense a little bit with JT back on the ground. So I think that Campbell could have a good game, and I think they're going to have to throw. So I think Pittman could have a pretty good game too, because I don't think that he's just washed. I think it's just been a chemistry situational issue with the Colts. So Paris Campbell, I think he gets like seven catches here. Not saying he scores, but seven catches around 90 yards or so.
I'm going to go with a wide receiver here that we were a little, everyone was talking down on earlier, Debo. He's not done anything really since week six. He did come back from injury last week. Didn't do much on the field. They play Arizona Monday night. I like that matchup. And I think he gets more involved in this one. I think he can obviously run on it at any time, but I think he gets in the end zone and has a decent day for.
I got Kadarius Toney. I don't think Juju will play, and I don't think they really have any other receivers other than Kelsey. Scantling does nothing for me. Hardman seems to be like a gadget type guy around the goal line. I think Tony's gonna get a lot of targets from Mahomes going forward, and I think he's gonna eat against the Chargers.
I like seeing that, Jerry. You like seeing that?
I couldn't hate Buzz's picks more so far.
Nick?
I'm going to go with Cortland Sutton. I feel like Las Vegas is terrible, and he hasn't quite gelled with Russ. The Broncos in general, like you guys talked about earlier, just haven't been clicking. But I think if Judy's not looking like he's going to play, and they're going to have to throw to somebody. And I think Sutton is – he had a decent game last week, didn't get a touchdown. But I could see him having over 100 yards and a touchdown this week.
That's right.
Barf. Nick, why don't you finish us off with tight ends?
All right. Well, this is assuming that he plays. David Njoku, it looked like he was going to play last week. He was trending towards that, and I guess – there was a report that he just didn't feel like he was quite ready. So if Njoku plays against Buffalo, he was having a great season prior to his injury. And I feel that they're going to – obviously Buffalo can put up a lot of points, and Cleveland's going to have to throw the ball. Like you said, Cooper has just disappears on the road, and somebody's going to have to catch the ball to keep up with Buffalo and score some points. So I'm picking Njoku.
I'm going to smash this guy because I have to, and I've been doing it all year. I said he would break fantasy at the tight end position, and he's broke me, Kyle Pitts.
Oh, you're not doing it to yourself.
I'm going to do it because it's coming, and he just needs a Mariota to throw some catchable passes, and I think he'll blow up. But
he's getting a million targets. It's just they're not in – anywhere near him, you know.
Which he has like the largest wingspan since Calvin Johnson. I don't know
how right.
A catchable ball to him.
I traded. He was involved in my JT trade. I got Metcalf and him, so I'm hoping for something out of him.
I think I saw a stat last week that Pitts had 8 targets. One of them was catchable, but he had 2 catches. Like that one towards the end of the game where it was like thrown really high, he went way up and caught it and brought it down. It's just
uncatchable, like, and he caught it.
Uncatchable, but he caught it. So
it's a great stat.
If he can start reeling in some more of those uncatchable passes, I think we'll be.
That's
we'll
on be him. Fine. It sounds like.
Yeah. Just catch more. My tight end is Hockenson. He's looking really good with the Vikings already. He's sitting at 19 targets through 2 weeks. Crazy amount of target share there. It's establishing him as a tight end one. They get Dallas this week, which I think we all like that matchup. And I think he'll follow Jefferson in targets and have a big day. I think he'll find the end zone too.
Very close to double smashing that. Very close. But yeah, I think Hockenson's he's got to be a top 5 guy now, obviously, with Goddard down and Ertz out for the year. He might sneak up to 3, to be honest with you. I really don't know who's maybe Njoku, you know, once he catches firing and can get back on the same page. But I'm with you. I'm going to finish it off with a guy that has been smashed on this show maybe more times than Kyle Pitts, Pat Freiermuth. So they shipped Claypool out of town and was very adamant that they think his replacement is already on the roster in Freiermuth, which I think is a little bit of a slap in the face to Freiermuth because he's such a superior football player to Claypool. And it's clear Claypool went to the Bears. He gets one target a game and can't catch it. And the Bears are doing so much better. And he certainly has nothing to do with it. But I haven't seen a TikTok come out from him yet. Not that I have TikTok, but he just, it's like he fell off the face of the earth once he got traded. It's so weird. But anyway, it's not a Claypool smash. This is a Freiermuth smash. And I think that anytime his line on FanDuel is like 4.5 catches, the over couldn't be hit quicker for me. Even though he doesn't he doesn't get that every week, but it seems like more often than not, he's a 5 or 6 catch guy, maybe a trip to the end zone every 3 games or so. But I think Freiermuth gets you 6 catches this week for, we'll say, 55 yards and a score. So I like it. All right, that'll close out our smashes of the week. Tune in next week where you can hear all the results, but it's a 4 for 4 across the board. The Super Smash Bros got it. And thanks for listening. So come back for week 12. Good luck. And bring home a W this week. For Jerry Two Chains and our guests, Buzz Natch and Dr. Nick, thanks for coming on, boys. We'll do it again.
Peace.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me.